Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nainar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Invisible Child, Poverty, Survival, and Hope in an American City by Andrea Elliott, is a deeply reported work of narrative nonfiction that follows a family navigating homelessness and extreme poverty in New York City. The book, recognized with the Pulitzer Prize, centers on a child growing up amid unstable housing, fractured systems of care, and the relentless pressure of daily survival. Elliott brings a journalist's persistence and a storyteller's attention to human complexity, showing how poverty is shaped not only by individual choices, but also by policy, bureaucracy, and the uneven distribution of safety and opportunity. Rather than treating homelessness as a statistic, the narrative emphasizes lived experience, including the emotional costs of moving from shelter to shelter, the strain on schooling and health, and the fragile threads of support that can appear and disappear without warning. The result is an intimate, civic-minded portrait of an American city and the people it too often fails to see. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, homelessness as a daily system, not a momentary crisis. A central topic in the book is how homelessness is sustained by systems that are supposed to resolve it. Instead of framing housing instability as a brief emergency, the narrative shows it as an ongoing condition shaped by shelter rules, eligibility requirements, paperwork burdens, and constant relocations. The family's experience illustrates how hard it is to stabilize anything when the ground keeps shifting, from maintaining possessions to keeping medical appointments, employment, or reliable childcare. The shelter network can function like a parallel city with its own routines, constraints, and pressures, where privacy is limited and personal agency is frequently negotiated. The book also highlights how instability compounds itself. A missed letter, a delayed appointment, or a minor infraction can trigger a cascade of consequences that push a family further from permanent housing. By tracking how decisions are made by caseworkers, agencies, and courts, the story exposes the gap between program goals and lived reality. The reader comes away with a clearer understanding that homelessness is often produced by administrative friction and scarcity as much as by economic hardship, and that escaping it requires more than determination. Secondly, childhood under pressure, school, health, and identity in flux. The book pays close attention to what poverty does to childhood, especially when a young person must adapt to constant uncertainty. Frequent moves disrupt schooling, making it difficult to build relationships with teachers, keep track of assignments, or access specialized services. Learning becomes not only an academic task, but also a logistical challenge in an environment where transportation, safety, and sleep are never guaranteed. The narrative also underscores how chronic stress affects health, behavior, and emotional development. When adults are overwhelmed by survival needs, children can be forced into premature self-reliance, managing siblings, interpreting adult moods, or moderating their own needs to avoid creating extra burdens. At the same time, the book does not reduce childhood to misery. It shows resilience and imagination alongside fear and fatigue. Identity forms in the tension between aspiration and constraint, between the desire to belong and the stigma that can attach to shelters, foster care, or public assistance. By presenting these pressures in concrete, everyday scenes, the book helps readers understand how opportunity gaps start early and why they are so hard to close once instability becomes the norm. Thirdly, family bonds and the weight of intergenerational trauma. Another major topic is the complexity of family life under poverty, where love, loyalty, and conflict coexist under extreme strain. The book explores how parents and caregivers can be both protective and overwhelmed, trying to keep children safe while grappling with their own histories, mental health challenges, and limited resources. Intergenerational trauma appears not as an abstract concept, but as a set of patterns that shape relationships, expectations, and coping strategies. When families have endured repeated losses, unstable housing, violence, or addiction in prior generations, crisis can become familiar, and trust in institutions may erode. The narrative shows how difficult it is to parent consistently when basic needs are uncertain, and how children can become witnesses to adult struggles that most families are shielded from. Yet it also depicts the fierce commitment family members can have to one another, the small acts of care that persist even when circumstances are harsh. By following relationships over time, the book invites readers to see poverty not as a single event, but as a force that reshapes family dynamics, decision-making, and the ability to imagine a different future. Fourthly, institutions. Up close, courts, shelters, schools, and social services. The book offers a ground-level view of the institutions that touch the lives of poor families, revealing both their importance and their limitations. Rather than treating social services as a single entity, it shows a maze of agencies and roles, each with its own rules, metrics, and constraints. Readers see how schools attempt to respond to students in crisis, how shelters manage scarcity and safety, and how courts and child welfare systems intervene when a family's situation deteriorates. The narrative emphasizes that institutional contact can be frequent without being effective, producing cycles of assessment and compliance that do not necessarily translate into stability. It also explores how documentation and credibility become currencies, with families expected to prove need repeatedly while navigating complex procedures. The story highlights the emotional toll of being constantly evaluated and the practical toll of spending hours on transit and waiting rooms. At the same time, it recognizes that within these systems, individual people can act with empathy and determination, even when their tools are limited. This institutional portrait helps readers understand why well-intentioned programs can fail, and why structural change matters as much as personal effort. Lastly, hope, agency, and the moral questions of public policy. While the book is rooted in hardship, it also examines what hope looks like when resources are scarce and outcomes are uncertain. Hope is portrayed less as a feeling and more as a practice, finding ways to keep going, seeking help, protecting siblings, and pursuing moments of normalcy. The narrative encourages readers to consider agency in a realistic way, acknowledging determination while showing how constrained choices can be. It raises moral and civic questions about what a wealthy city and a wealthy country owe to children, and how policy decisions about housing, education, healthcare, and safety nets shape life trajectories. By focusing on the granular details of survival, the book makes the consequences of abstract debates visible. It also prompts reflection on public narratives that blame individuals, inviting readers to consider the roles of wages, rents, discrimination, trauma, and institutional design. Importantly, hope is not presented as a simple uplift ending or a guarantee of transformation. It is a thread that can fray and reappear. This topic gives the book its broader significance, connecting one child's story to questions of justice, accountability, and what it means to build a society that truly protects its most vulnerable members. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want to understand poverty and homelessness beyond headlines, including general nonfiction readers, students, educators, social workers, policy professionals, and anyone interested in how American cities function for people at the margins. It is also valuable for book clubs because it invites discussion about responsibility, compassion, and the gap between intention and outcome in public systems. The benefit to the reader's life comes from the way it deepens empathy while sharpening civic awareness. By seeing how instability affects school, health, family relationships, and future planning, readers can better interpret debates about housing, welfare, and child protection with more nuance and less blame. It can also change how people notice their own communities, encouraging more informed volunteering, voting, and advocacy. Compared with similar books, Invisible Child stands out for its sustained reporting and narrative clarity, following one family over time with enough detail to reveal cause and effect rather than offering isolated anecdotes. It combines personal intimacy with systemic analysis, making it both emotionally engaging and intellectually instructive. For readers seeking a book that is memorable, socially important, and rigorously grounded, it is worth buying and keeping. If you would like to support Andrea Elliott, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.